Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Jay Austin, who'll be sitting in for Matt Watson today. Hi, Jay.
I am not Matt Watson.
You aren't, man. You aren't. But whether it's you or someone else, I do have to let everybody know that Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, which I do own with Matt Watson. So
I heard about it one time.
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, you told me about it a lot.
That's right. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Well, I love today's topic. We're going to talk about video marketing, and you are someone that knows quite a few things about that. Jay, you are the CEO, janitor, and the guy at the Creators Group.
That's what you came up with?
Yeah. And I love it. I mean, you told me you were the janitor and the CEO, and that's, but you know, you do have a group of people. You guys do some really cool stuff related to video marketing. As you are aware, because I've sat down way too early one morning and talk to you about it. I mean, I am such a huge proponent of video marketing. I think that everybody wants to do it. Not enough people do. And then a lot of people try and just really, 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 really fail badly. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, we've seen that a lot.
Yeah, and it happens. I mean, as entrepreneurs and startup founders, we're going to fail at things a lot. But as we get into this, and you guys know that I love it when you are interactive. So you can go to creatorsgroup.com and check out what Jay does. And you can also find him at Creators GRP on the gram. And is it the Facebook still? Or is it just Facebook?
We're going to have to ask somebody smarter.
Yeah, I know. And you guys are just Creators Group. You're not the Creators Group.
Right.
There you go. It's cleaner. Keep it clean.
Super clean.
Justin Timberlake told me that once.
Who did?
JT.
Wow.
Or wait, who was he playing in? He was Sean Parker in The Social Network.
He can really be whoever he wants to be.
You know what? He really can.
He's the new Tom on MySpace.
I get it. And he's, well, I mean, yeah, he really can. So I went and saw JT when he came to the Sprint Center. It's he put on a good show, man. And he's a sneakerhead. So I was just like, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that phase of his life where he had hair that looked like uncooked ramen noodles?
It's awesome though. As someone that doesn't have a thick full head of hair, I just appreciate any kind of hair.
Yeah. That's a deep level of
including gratitude. Yours. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's some deep level of gratitude, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Gratitude for your hair.
Yeah.
Okay. You. So back to video marketing. A thick full head of hair does look better on video.
It could.
It does. So, Jay, tell us about, grab the mic and just tell us about Creators Group, what you guys are trying to do and why it's relevant.
Awesome. Yeah. So we make videos, just lots and lots of videos. And we're headquartered here in Kansas City. We've got 12 really awesome curated videographers who we work with, and we shoot all over the world.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff. And you know, the problem that you're trying to solve with folks is businesses and just people in general that want to do video have a hard time with the production element of it. Is that correct?
Yes. Production and then the continuity of it, right? Because
doing it regularly,
doing it over and over and over and over again for multiple platforms. It's a big challenge.
So Creators Group would help me not only come up with ideas of what I should be doing for video, you're going to help me execute it and then keep it on the reg.
On the reg.
Yeah. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
I think that one of the mistakes, whether you're doing like written content marketing, whether it's a podcast, whether it's your YouTube channel, or something like that. If you're not regular, you're forgotten.
Yes, it's hard to stay relevant, especially right now when more and more people are getting introduced to the idea of creating content, and the ability to create content is going up. Right, the price of everything is coming down. Your cameras are coming down. Like that's why we actually encourage people to just shoot with whatever they have.
Yeah,
but then the barrier is the editing, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we do that as well. You can just ship us the footage and do that. But
Everybody's got a 4K camera in their pocket.
Exactly.
I mean, and think about that, man, that's crazy. So, you know, I have a background with musical instruments, and I've touched on that in my recent book, The Realist Guide to Successful Music Career. So I used to work for Roland, and this was like over a decade ago, but like, you're here in the studio. And if you guys want to check us out on YouTube, you can, because we're talking about video. We have a new YouTube channel. And we put the episodes here so you can see how much better looking Jay is than I am.
By the way, if you really want to help the podcast, go find them on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned before, like, we're finding, it's the same thing. It's just, you're going to see our heads. You can see what I look like. I'm waving at you right now. Yeah. But the soundboard that's here in the studio used to be what the size of a digital recorder was when I worked for Roland. I mean, think about that. And now you technically walk around with one in your pocket. And, you know, the same thing with cameras. So 3.5 years ago, when I was helping JC Lopez at Urban Necessities get his YouTube channel together, we had to buy some somewhat pricey gear still. But that's not the case anymore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you consider the phone's pricey, but it can do so many things like.
But you already have it.
Phone calls or whatever those are.
Yeah. You maybe look at the internet and the social media.
Facebook. It can even send you to the moon.
Technically, you're referring to the computing power being much greater than the original Apollo spacecraft. It's crazy, right?
It is amazing.
And in 2 years, it'll be a year and a half or whatever. It'll be half the price and twice the power. And
And not to mention, it is your television now. And that's why creating video is so important.
Right. And with that, I think a lot of people, I want to talk about what makes a decent video. So, and you know, I've made quite a few videos. So you run into this kind of balance of like, are you trying to make it as short and to the point as possible? Or are you trying to make it have enough meaningful content for, and I'll let you tell us all about what makes a decent video. But for me, I think you have to immediately start by grabbing someone, and I think people fail by trying to make this like overextended, ridiculously long video, and then it's over.
That's right. Yeah. The first 5 seconds is a fight for attention. And then once you have that, you're in a pretty good spot to be able to do one of three things. And this is how I typically try to guide people on their video: is be educational, be entertaining, or be emotional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you can picture that as like a Venn diagram, remember those things?
Maybe.
Yeah, no. But if you can try to get all three at once, that is the holy grail. And the one thing I didn't mention is how long it is, because unless the platform is restricting how long it is.
Sure. Well, like Instagram, you get a minute, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a good length.
It is a nice
length. And in some cases, still too long.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And so when people ask or start thinking about like, how long should my video be? My general rule of thumb is as long as the content is awesome.
Yeah.
So if your content is awesome for 3.5 hours, you might as well keep going and keep going and then break it down into 1,000 tiny pieces.
That's the same rule I take here on the podcast. And for those of you that listen regularly, sometimes an episode's 38 minutes and sometimes they're 1.5 hours. Like it's about, is this still interesting? Are we on point? Did we accomplish what we meant to accomplish? And for those of you that listen regularly, sometimes, we wander off a little bit because we want you to also feel like you know us. And that's an important thing too, right?
Yeah, definitely. That it's the buzzword now, authenticity. But really what happens in really great marketing, and you know this because I've seen you in practice marketing, is you need people to connect with you.
Yeah.
And you can be the big brand, you can be a person, but connect with something. And it's hard to connect with something that's too sterile.
Well, right. Cause you want people to get it. And there are certain things like I wouldn't probably, let's look at the dude that's now with Sprint that was with Verizon. You remember that guy from that commercial. How did they let him get into that, by the way? Like that's a funny thing, but you talk about someone knowing you. They know him. I don't know what his name is. He's, you know, can you hear me now? It's that guy, right?
It's that guy.
But that's my point. It's like, so you got to know him on whatever level, and now he works somewhere else, which is the way it goes. But when you're selling, pushing, promoting, informing, education, I use this term, I call it democation. If you can demonstrate and educate at the same time, that's a good approach to doing things. But at the same time, no one wants to, unless you are literally creating a video of a seminar, like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, for like, we fire money guns on a podcast where you can't really even see us firing the money gun, but it's like people come in and they're like, I want to fire the money gun. I'm like, okay, we can probably make that happen.
Might as well, man. They need to make a pocket-sized version.
We put those videos on Instagram. We're on Instagram at Startup Hustle Podcast.
And that does not fall into the educational portion of the Venn diagram, but it falls into the...
It's entertaining.
And emotional to some people.
Yeah, it's funny because, we've had so many different reactions. And we're sitting here looking at our money guns right now. We have both by Supreme. Both probably not authentic. But maybe, you know, so
secondary markets exist for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's truly secondary. So if you have, and by the way, if you have a picture of a Venn diagram and you want to tag at Startup Hustle Podcast on your IG page, I'll call you out. I'll give you a shout out. So
Matt, that reminds me. I looked through my garage before I came out here this morning everybody knows that you're a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Few people know that I used to get in trouble a lot when I was in grade school, but you could probably anticipate that. And when they would kind of punish me in grade school, they'd send me out into the hall. And back in the day, you know,
I spent a lot of time in the hall in the corner. I get it.
And so I would, they would always kick me out into the hall. You know, I always had hand-me-down clothes or Goodwill clothing, things like this. And so I thought that like the all white sneaks were hot back in the day, but they were all like New Balance before New Balance was dope.
Yeah.
And so I'd be sitting out there with these hand-me-down, gently used all white sneaks, but I'd keep getting in trouble, man. And so Alex Lee at one point, shout out to Alex Lee. I don't know what he's doing now, but he would sneak me these.
Is this a kid from grade school?
Yeah.
Alex, if you're listening, like also, like, let us know what you're doing.
Well, this was his hustle.
I feel like there's so many Alex Lees, like that didn't even narrow it down, but go ahead.
Yeah. And how do you spell Lee? L-I-L-E-E? So who knows?
Yeah.
So anyways, he used to start sneaking me these Sharpies, these different color markers. Cause like, however he got his hands on it, he had like the 50 pack.
Oh, yeah.
That's too many colors. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know.
A little too much selection.
He would like sneak these out. And so I would sit out there with my legs crossed while I was in trouble. And I'd be coloring like tie-dye patterns in my shoes. And it would have matched because today in the office,
the staff's wearing tie-dye. Did you notice that they have the Royals promo fanny packs on too? I'll give you one.
You can't not notice
it. Dude, they're so bad.
But dude, I kept those shoes from like fifth grade. And they're somewhere in my garage, but I could not find them.
Oh,
I was going to bring them for viewers at home.
Well, you can post those on your page.
Thanks, man.
So, and that might make a decent video. So I want to go back. I want to highlight the three things. You had three E's. What were those again?
Educational, emotional, or entertaining.
Boom. And I mean, you nailed it. And those are the reasons that people watch videos.
Yes.
You know, so like educational, if you sell a product, that could be educational. Educational also. So at Full Scale, once again, if you want to check us out, fullscale.io, we do educational videos because we want people to understand how our business works. So we have an educational video about our billing. We have another one about, so we do guided development. Our clients actually, they manage their teams. So we just want to explain the way that that goes. And they're under a minute on purpose. You know, and then another one just about us, education about us, like who we are. You know, 10 years ago, I hired my first employees in the Philippines. That has evolved over the years. Now it's Full Scale. And we also point out that the University of Cebu's mascot is the webmaster, which I think says a lot about the culture where our office is.
Yeah,
so, and that's just simple education. And you are part Filipino, right?
I am. Yeah. Shout out to mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we love it there. That's where Watson's at right now.
I'm 100% jealous of the tan he's getting.
Watson does. I don't think Matt gets tan.
What SPF does he use, Matt?
Like 1000.
He needs more.
He's like one notch below a vampire when it comes to sun exposure risk. Like
I'm imagining him with 1100 SPF. Shooting Supreme money guns in the air. Leads the team.
It's funny because, you know, Matt, we give Matt a hard time, but he, you know, he's kind of freckly. And when we go over there, they're not used to seeing that. And like people, like I've been there with them. They're like, are you okay? So he's like, what? So, anyway.
Yeah. But in terms of that triangle that we talked about, the three E's, this is just a simple place to start. And I think like one of the, what's up?
we were just Breland, our show's producer, just walked in with her tie-dyed shirt and her Royals promotional fanny pack.
Just crushing it. Just crushing it.
Yeah, she had that on yesterday too. We had quite a few people. Can you post a picture of the fanny pack on the gram for us, please? Thanks.
How do you even post one of those? Like in selfie mode?
How do you not post it?
Oh, that's true.
I mean, for real, how do you not post it?
You can't not. But you know what I wanted to share with your listeners, man, is that when we think about making videos, I think too often we think about making external marketing videos. When you and I know, when you look at how businesses keep money, we get fascinated by new customers.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get distracted by new customers when return customers and generating word of mouth is the best way to create a really good profitable mm-hmm. company.
Yeah.
And so creating a set of videos for your existing customers that help them feel comfortable using the product or buying the product or service, and then helping them spread the word, that's actually a way better investment into video than external marketing often is.
Can I add a fourth E?
Yeah.
So this isn't, I create videos when I continue to hear an echo. And when an echo would mean, so you have your clients, customers, whomever, when you get the same question over and over and over, that's an echo. And not only is it, that's where I answer with an educational video, but an echo is a signal that it's a good place for a video. I'm going to use Gigabook as an example. The subscription system works based on how many things you're taking bookings for. People had a ton of questions. So we're getting like through intercom and different, things. I don't understand how the subscription works. And you hear that enough. You're like, okay, we have to fix this. So I made a 1-minute video. This is how the subscription works. I drew it out. It had some like a very simple infographics. And we also put a calculator on, but we didn't do that till later. The day we put that video up, 90% less people asked the question. And then when we put the calculator on with it, nobody asked. Like it's literally like it took months. So that was an echo. So you hear these echoes, and echoes are good for entrepreneurs to pay attention to. That's how we started Full Scale. People kept saying Matt and I didn't become business partners intending to start Full Scale. We became partners in Gigabook, and we wanted to have a bigger office in the Philippines, but we talked about doing client services like a year later. But I heard the echo, people saying, what do we need to do to get in on this? What do we need to do to hire people? You hear that enough. Okay. That means there's a problem or something that needs to be solved. So a good entrepreneur, business owner, manager, marketer, you listen for the echo.
Absolutely. And so, I'm assuming some of your listeners are going to be, like Andrew Dowis, who is on episode
160, 159 e-commerce.
Yeah. And so you're talking about an SMB that is between 10 and their, I don't know if I can say his revenue numbers, but there are companies who
it's
are
a
like
lot. 10 it's a lot. That's just bats.com.
Yes.
I mean, and they've been around forever. They were like e-commerce pioneers.
Yeah. So when you find companies that have internal marketing teams of like 2 to 8 people, they're probably going to be in like a $10 million to $60 million range. And they also tend to be the companies who struggle most with what to do now with all these different platforms and like how to create videos and even where to
start.
When
you say all these different platforms, you're talking about like YouTube, Facebook, the Gram. There's all this other stuff. Where do you host it? What do you say? Who's this directed to? Do we embed it on our page? Do we put it here? Is that what
exactly,
you mean?
Okay. Exactly.
How do you determine what's best for that?
It's marketing 101. Go to where your people are.
Yeah.
Go to where your people are. And so if you're in that spot, right, and you're the one inside that company, maybe you're the marketing manager or the CMO trying to figure out what set of content, whether it's videos or not, to create next, the lowest hanging fruit and most effective fruit to pick is go to your sales team and then turn your FAQs into content.
Yeah. Well, those are echoes. FAQ is like the OG answer to the echo. You know, like what happens if this?
Yes.
What happens if that? And those are answering echoes. But the thing is, dude, people don't read anymore. Like you, TLDR, too long, didn't read. Like that happens a lot. And you will be, and that's where, not for any of your ease, that's where the video is also great because there's just a lot of people. I'm one, I'd rather watch your 1-minute video. Give me 1 minute. I love the condensed thing. Like I subscribe to an app called Blinkist. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it is? Mm-hmm. So like in it, and in a 15 minutes or less on audio, it tells me everything I need to know about books. Mm-hmm. It's Cliff Notes on paper, but I love it because I get what I need out of that without having to take the time to read the whole frickin' book. So it kind of puts things on steroids. All right. So let's talk about entertainment and video being entertaining, because what do you think the components are? Because sometimes people, you can try this and do well, and you can also like really fucking fail.
And that's kind of the point.
Yeah. To fail or not. Sometimes the failure can be a win.
How deep?
Well, think about Wendy's Twitter page.
That's a homegrown thing here in KC, by the way.
It's pretty awesome. But at the same time, I guarantee you that started with someone just being salty. And then they realized, they're like, wait a minute, because think about it. Do you think any brand on the surface level was like, you know what, we should just talk shit to everybody on Twitter that says anything? You know, because at first someone did that a couple times and they probably fired someone.
That's right.
And then they started realizing that they picked up attention from that. So sometimes mm-hmm. that failure can become a win. And by the way, if you don't follow Wendy's on Twitter, you are not living your best life. Do you agree? It's amazing. They literally make the opposite reaction on just about everything that business school would teach you.
Yes.
But it's effective. They've got a ton. I mean, why else would you follow Wendy's on Twitter? I mean, for real, we've added a little more chocolate to the shake flavor.
100%. And that's true for a lot of businesses. Like, for example, if you're an insurance company, what the hell are you going to make other than entertaining content?
Yeah. Boring. Right? Well, that's why can't remember. I don't know the actor's name. He played Dennis Duffy on 30 Rock. He's in insurance commercials. He's like doom or gloom or whatever it is, you know, like he's always got a bandage on and something's wrecking near him and stuff like that. Like that's how you make a boring topic interesting.
That's right. Yeah. And I mean, even if you look at large insurance companies and the commercials that we remember, we actually remember a lot of insurance companies' commercials. Geico.
Because there's
The Gecko, the Caveman.
Oh, yeah.
We have Chaos, right? The guy from State Farm.
Yeah.
Where he just crashes into everything.
But isn't that the same guy or is that different?
I think it's different.
It is.
It's a guy.
So they're competing. Yeah.
They're competing for sure. But then you have, I mean, so you can name these insurance companies. Now, the trick is when you're a smaller or a private company that is inherently boring, what do? And that's when you go to your sales team and you knock out the FAQs, the echoes, mm-hmm. things like this. And then you have to find a way to get attention towards your educational content.
Right.
And so you need to think outside the box. One of the best ways to do it is to not do it yourself. And so find somebody else who has the attention of a crossover audience. Like, in other words, they've been making a YouTube channel for the last 3.5 years and they have a cool audience. And you think that 32% of their audience is going to be interested in what you're selling.
And that's what your group can help people with.
Well, we can't help people with sponsoring, but we can help people.
Yeah, but baking it.
Yeah,
I always tell people, I'm like, if you need a bricklayer, if you need to build a house made out of bricks, call a bricklayer. You don't call Roto-Rooter.
Mm.
You know, and that's the thing is like, you know, so you guys would help someone make that first video and just get that out of the way. That's the first objective, right?
Yes.
Like, hey, let's just get you on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, let me tell you a story. So like, if you're out there and you're listening and you think you have a boring product, probably because somebody has told you have a boring
product. And by the way, you probably do, even if
most
you don't think you do, like most things are boring.
Most things are boring. Then this is a story that you need to listen to. So if you're in that spot, so we were down in a little tiny country called Suriname, which is in the northern part of South America. And we were down there to give a keynote, a videographer of mine and I. And we were having lunch with some of the other speakers. And one of the other speakers was running a social media agency. And one of her largest clients was basically a bricklayer. Like they made stones for houses. And so in Suriname, what we learned is that the Surinamese dream is to own a house, but a house doesn't look like a house that we're picturing in mm-hmm. our heads. Like you've been to enough third world countries sure. and countries like this to understand this, but it is a small, very small plot of land and it represents something so much more to those types of cultures. And so that's the Surinamese dream. And she was having trouble trying to figure out how to make 35 posts about a stone without just boring people to death. And so we started asking questions about like, well, what does the house mean? What happens when there's a flood? Because it rains a lot out there. It's in the Amazon. What happens when there's a flood and the house gets ruined? How does the community react to that? And we started hearing all these true stories. Now the whole table was involved of these stories of these houses flooding and people from the community coming back and literally rebuilding the houses with each other. And so there, we just made a stone interesting.
Sure.
Now it's not about the quality of the stone and the dimensions and the durability and stuff. That's stuff that nobody wants to follow on an ongoing basis. But every Surinamese person knew and felt what it was like to see that stone laid because that meant that that was their house. They owned that now.
And that's that emotional hook. And you know, like another thing, like, all right, so I consider myself creative. If you had to do 35 posts, I could have also done something that showed 35 images of it being built. And I would have started it with a plot of dirt, and then I would have started it with a couple stones, and then I would have started it with a man in it, and then I would have put a man and a woman, and then I would have put a man and a woman and a child, and then I would have shown them inside the house or something like that. You know, like that kind of progressive storytelling pattern, you know, and like, you know, and but that's the thing, is you have to also consider like the audience that you're speaking to. So another interesting story related to that. So in Africa, they speak so many different dialects that it's difficult to communicate sometimes. So a lot of the food products have pictures of whatever it is in the can, right? So Gerber, have you seen Gerber baby food? It has a picture of a baby on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't they couldn't figure out why they weren't making any sales when they tried to get into the African market. Because literally people, like the cultural norm and the you have to understand who you're speaking to. And like, when I say what language they speak, it's also like the cultural understanding. Like literally they were creating an identifying factor of, hey, there could be a baby in this jar. Like, and that's, you know, that's a different, like, that's the kind of emotion you don't want to invoke.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, and you know, some of the things that you need to stay away from if you're creating videos that are related to emotion, unless you are directly in these businesses, I would recommend steering away from religion, sex, and politics. Because you just have, with those topics, they're touchy, and you have the ability to potentially rub more people the wrong way than you do the other way. Now, if you're obviously, if you're in any of those businesses, sure. But you actually have a much higher chance of pissing people off than it with those things.
That's so, right.
Like, and you're going to invoke that a negative emotional response. Emotion's tricky.
Yeah, I don't think that we can be afraid of evoking negative emotions. There's actually a great book out there called Contagious that talks about this, where negative emotions from advertising aren't necessarily bad, but there's a spectrum of negative emotions. Yeah. If you are just a regular company and you're not trying to start World War III, then the type of negative emotion that you might want to think about avoiding is anger.
Yeah.
But a negative emotion.
Well, and that's where like politics comes in, and sometimes religion, and then sometimes sex. And sometimes, you know, the sex things just might not be appropriate.
Right. Yeah. And if you're ready, I mean, it's one of those things where like you just need to be ready to face the consequences of your work. And so like, if you're a Richard Branson and you're 20 something years old and you're starting an irreverent record store in the UK, right? And you're like, dude, what's a name that would catch somebody's attention? Virgin. Then that's an interesting way to leverage that sex thing. But we're not in the 60s or 70s anymore when that started. And, you know, so it's one of those things where you just got to be ready for the consequences. I do think though that like going back to the idea of a boring product, even boring products have interesting stories attached to it, and you need to continue to find the stories and think about what it would be like to be an interesting person. When you're sitting across from an interesting person, they talk about themselves a little bit, but often what makes somebody interesting is that they're listening,
they're
telling stories, things like this. Brands are no different. We think that brands are different. We think that we need to communicate differently when we are a brand, but I know you've seen this, Matt, like, how often do people, entrepreneurs, like in our circles, their marketing sucks and they produce marketing that would not work on them?
Right.
How often do you see that?
Yeah.
So it's very important to step away from your own business when you're creating these marketing plans and put yourself directly in the seat of the person who you're trying to speak with and be interesting to.
Yeah. And that's understanding your audience. And I want to talk a little bit about the psychology of a video, but first, if you get a chance and if you're still listening, go to creatorsgroup.com, check out what Jay and Creators Group does. Also check out at Creators GRP on Instagram and Facebook. While you're there, check out Full Scale, at Full Scale KC, at Startup Hustle Podcast, or at DeCourcy Matt. You have a personal gram? Do we push that out or no?
No, man. Keep it to the company. No, I got it's about you. The team.
Some people are into that and some people aren't. You know, that's another thing too, is like in the psychology is sometimes you can be the brand and sometimes you really should separate yourself from the brand too. I mean, that can be tricky. So,
and at different stages in the company's life, right? Like when you think about how most companies start, if you don't have the funding to really be external with your marketing, it is you hustling. It is you who are the company. It is you who answers the customer service calls. Respect the hustle.
Wearing the tibble. You have one of these, don't you?
I do. I have one of those. I need to get you one of ours.
You know, it's funny because these, my Respect the Hustle shirts, which are the like staple of my fashion. It's amazing how many people ask for these. We only made 60 of them. You've got like limited edition shit. You should sell it on like StockX, scalp it on eBay.
You're not big enough yet, Matt.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Working on it. I actually probably know a couple of people that might pay a markup. They've been asking me. I've got a list of people like, if you ever remake those shirts, I'm like, we'll make a different one. Let's talk about the psychology of a video. And we hit on a lot. I mean, a lot of the stuff we just talked about is related to the psychology, but this is something you're a subject matter expert on. And I think that it's worth discussing because that, you know, that psychology is, and I've spent a lot of time studying personality types. So different personality types react to different things. They ingest and make information and make decisions way different. And then I've also been fascinated with the science behind why we make decisions. And one example is, so like, it's about the creation of value. So if I told you I'd give you $10 off of a $1,000 suit, but you had to walk 10 minutes to get it, or I would give you $10 off a $15 meal, you also had to walk 10 minutes to get it. Now you're going to buy both, right? Let's just assume you're going to buy both. Overwhelmingly, people will walk 10 minutes to save $10 on the $15 meal, and they will overwhelmingly say no to $10 off of a $1,000 suit. Technically, it is the exact same money for the exact amount of time and effort saved, but the perception of the value compared to whatever it is you're buying is remarkably different. So that's a psychology of decision making that could affect a video. But literally what I said is a glass of water for another glass of water. It's the exact same thing. $10, 10 minutes, same thing. But your perception and your psychology related to that, wow, that's a really great deal. And the other one, you're like, not a great deal.
Exactly. And a lot of this cool research is coming out of that entire, thank goodness for it, but the entire behavioral economics revolution that started in the 70s with Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, you know, and essentially they upended an entire school of thought of economics, where economics, you know, supply, demand, all that stuff, it was based off of rational behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm not acting rationally when I'm standing in line at a Quick Trip at 1:32 in the morning and I grab that Reese's peanut butter cups. That's not a rational decision.
You're technically also not acting rationally when you wait in a line for 18 hours to buy a quote limited edition product.
Exactly. And it took us years and years to realize kind of our own humanity with this stuff. And so like, I love that example of the suit and the meal.
Yeah.
And there are all these, actually, let me back up. If you want to start creating better content in general, better marketing content, the best route to go down is to listen more and more to people like a Malcolm Gladwell, mm-hmm. or an a Daniel Kahneman, like Thinking Fast and Slow, things like this, where they're studying how humans actually behave.
I think Malcolm Gladwell wrote The Art of Clear Thinking. Is that the right guy?
I don't think
so. A different guy? Yeah. All right. That was the book that I read that in. It's called The Art of Clear Thinking. And it's like 103 page chapters all about little things.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah.
I love the 3-page chapter, by the way.
You just got to think, oh, really?
Well, yeah, because I have ADD, man. I just said I want to hear a whole book in 15 minutes. It's just like, I don't know. It's hard to capture attention, which is hard to do in a video.
Yeah.
And that's where that psychology comes into it.
Yeah. Now, here's another piece of psychology. So if you jump into 1919, right, the game for getting noticed in 1919 is way different than getting noticed in 2019.
And the rules around it were a lot different too.
The rules are a lot different. There are different mediums. That's why it's different. So there was no the Facebook in 1919. There was no Instagram. There's no internet. There's no widespread, huge, huge publications.
In most places, there was no electricity.
That's right. And so you had traveling salespeople who walked around and opened up suitcases. You had Bible thumpers. You had newspapers. And those cost a lot of money. So the medium changed. But what made people move is actually exactly the same in 2019 as it was 100 years ago, because we haven't evolved out of ourselves, right? We just have access to more knowledge and touch points. So the game to play in 2019 is to be the one who shows up most often with the 3 E's, 4 E's of content, and do it consistently until somebody needs it.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. So that's why creating content at scale for multiple platforms is so important right now.
But one thing with regularity, though, is you do have to abide by the educate, entertain, and emotion aspect. Because if you're just creating shit to create it, you lose your audience as fast as you built one.
That's right.
And because back to that authenticity is like, you can only fake it for so long, and you have to be able to keep people's attention. And speaking of which, for those of you that have listened to this, for whether today's your first episode or you've listened to the 100 and a half that came out before this, thank you. And you know, we continue to see our listenership rise, and that's because, and I told you this before we hit record, like we and Matt want to do the best we can to continue to bring relevant, interesting, emotional, educational, and you can mix it all in, but that's really important. And we look at our entire feed, like all episodes of Startup Hustle, I look at it as a library. So we don't have a book on the shelf about video marketing. So here you are.
Thank you.
But it's key though. It's like, because people have started asking me a lot. They're like, well, I want to start a podcast. Well, everybody's starting a podcast now. Like 10,000 new podcasts, like not episodes, shows are coming out every week right now. Everybody's launching a podcast. And with that, the one advice I give people when it comes to whether it's a podcast or any type of content, don't paint yourself in the corner with your title and your subject matter. Because you can very quickly run at like, okay, you either found this episode because you searched for video marketing and you found us based on that, or you're a regular listener. If this was only on video marketing and you were just a general entrepreneur and not a video marketer, you're not going to make it very far as a listener on a regularity. So you either need to be keep it very specific, but that gets difficult at some point. Like, where are you on episode 10 or video 10 or post 200? Because you can start running out of relevant stuff to say in a hurry. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the approach that too many people make with creating content is they are approaching it the same way that people advise tech startups. So like the lean startup methodology is like you pick that niche, you go down as, you know, like that's the thing to do.
I do think you need to be good at one thing before you try to be good at eight.
Yes, yes. But you're talking about like, you know, one podcast about one thing or one company talking about one thing for too long, like in that content, not only does it get boring to listen to, but it gets hard to create.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the point. It's like, you start to run out, you're like, oh, well, we've talked about that. We've talked about that. Or, you know, and that's a key, like with Startup Hustle. I mean, it's funny because so many people don't consider themselves startups. Like my last book was about the music industry. You know, bands are startups too. They actually have startups that are way more difficult to be successful at than some of the ones that I work with every day. Mm-hmm. But it's that mentality of how you look at it. So where, you know, like you can help your business, your startup, you can make video. I mean, technically, and I'm not trying to push people away from Creators Group, but you can make it for free. You turn your camera on and guess what? Just make it. And the great part about recording, whether it's audio or video, is if it sucks, don't publish it.
That's right. Yeah. And no, you're not pushing people away from any professional production service worth their weight in gold, because really what you're hiring a top videographer to do, if you're like looking for more marketing, is pre-production.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily their expertise behind a camera that makes them stand out, at least moving forward. This is our thesis. It is, can you hire somebody who is really good at getting into the hearts and minds of the people who you're talking to?
Dude, it's hard to write scripts.
And do that work for you.
Yeah. I spend more time trying to figure out, like, all right, so if you haven't been to our YouTube channel, go check it out and watch the main video. And it's funny because I joke, I sound like Morgan Freeman in it, but you talk about evoking,
don't flatter yourself.
I tried, but we started with the video of a lemonade stand, and it's about being an entrepreneur, and, you know, and that immediate, like, you know, did you have a lemonade stand or something similar?
I had hustles for sure.
Right. That's my point. So, you know, you identify, that's a very first image. And it evokes that emotion and it grabs you with that psychology. And it, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we're going to talk about stuff that's relevant to you. But it took me, so that's a 1 minute video. And it took me a little bit to write that. Like, and I wrote different iterations of it and I just kept recording it. I just like literally took my Mac and just hit record. Like it was a shitty recording. You use your phone or something like that, but talk it out. You know, talk it out a little bit, but it's difficult to write scripts because you need to be precise, and then there's timing behind it. And if you're doing it for video, it's even harder because you have to give consideration to weird things like a transition or, you know, just different stuff.
Yeah,
so, definitely. And you got to keep it moving.
Yeah. And here's the thing about creating videos is it is actually very easy to create a video. It's a little bit more difficult to create a great video. But you need professional help when you need to create great videos at scale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And by the way, trying to do some of that stuff. So Johnny, who's also one of the producers of the podcast.
Shout out, Johnny.
So I've worked with Johnny for a little bit. He helped me with Jay and Urban Necessities YouTube channel, which, by the way, has 250,000 subscribers. So I'd say that us getting that started was worth the time. But, you know, he's technically a videographer. He's worked for HBO, Riot Games, has a film in Tribeca and all this different stuff. But, you know, like most businesses don't have or want to take that expense on a full-time basis. Now, that's an important part of what we do, and he helps us with a lot of creative stuff. But those are the kind of guys you guys get at Creators Group, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, so, you know, give it a shot. And, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, it's just so much easier to just hire someone that's already good at what they do than trying to figure it out on so many levels. But
I hear you. Yeah. And I mean, so getting like really hyper practical for your listeners here, we talked about creating a lot of great educational, emotional, entertaining content at scale and doing it over the long term. That is so hard and taxing, because maybe you feel this with the podcast a little bit. It feels like sometimes you're sprinting a marathon. And a great way to think about how to produce and then post your content is to have a sprinter's mindset when you're producing it and then a marathoner's mindset as you post it. So I'll break that down. So when you're thinking like a sprinter, you have 100 meters, aka 30 days, to create as much content as you can. So you do the pre-production, you get the cameras rolling, you get the writers writing, you get the audio engineers doing their audio engineering, and you sprint as hard as you can for 30 days. And at the end of that, it goes to your post-production team, and you have enough content to post for 90 days. Take a month off, just like a sprinter would, come back, sprint, post for another 90 days. And so what ends up happening is your content starts layering on top of itself, and you're not killing yourself, like just wondering, oh my God, are we going to post another Instagram post today? Like, that is one of the stupidest worries when you're running a huge company or even a startup. It's like, did we get our post out today?
That was the main thing that, and I mentioned this before we started recording, but that was, you know, that, and to ensure regularity, we don't mess a release, man. Like I came down to the office one night at midnight because I realized there was a little issue with the podcast that was going to come out. So this guy in Central Time, currently and here in August of 2019, this comes out 4 days a week, and it comes out at 5 a.m. Monday through Thursday. And that's aggressive. I mean, can we agree that that's aggressive for podcasts?
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm not Joe Rogan. I don't have that. Like, I mean, maybe someday, but you know, but in order to do that and guarantee that, because we want to be there for you on that morning drive, or, and you know, and if you have a short one, then you can finish it on the way home or something like that. But if you don't, if all of a sudden we're just not there, like that would be noticed. At least I like to think it is. And that's also a good thing though, because it encourages us to, you know, feel like, you know, we need to live up to that standard too. I don't want to not have it out there, but the main thing to do that, and we just went through this it ended about 3 weeks ago, but we got really aggressive. We were recording these like twice a day, like we're doing like 9 a week. And our goal was to get about 3 to 4 weeks ahead. Cause guess what? Shit happens. You know, I have a wife, I have kids, Watson travels around the world. I travel around the world. We do all kinds of different stuff, and you don't know what's going to sometimes get in the way. And if you don't have, and that was what's annoying, who's going to make the post? So, you know, these things get scheduled out a little in advance, but what made it feel all right? So if you're running a marathon, your goal is to get yourself in a nice, steady groove where you're not even thinking about what you're doing. You're just going. And that's made it a lot. It makes it a lot less strained. And it also gives padding. So like, you showed up today, but I couldn't guarantee that you showed up. So if I'm working one day ahead of time, I would have had to now drop everything I was doing and do a lot of different stuff. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's a key ingredient. Now, you used the word taxing, but there is actually something related to tax that could really help you create content, because creating content for your business is a marketing expense, which means that it is deductible. It's an expense, and you can actually leverage some fun and interesting things out of your own business creating video content, right?
Yes, definitely.
With travel or however. So, you know, give us a few words on that as we kind of wind down here.
Yeah. So creating your own marketing, especially as a smaller company, should be very fun.
Oh, totally.
It should be very fun.
Without a doubt.
Too many people stress out about it. Like, listen, like, If you're listening right now and you are maybe a solopreneur, or you're running a small team, or maybe you just got funded and you have like 5-10 people who you're looking after, your one priority is to be the person who radically prioritizes what you're doing. And worrying about that Instagram post going out today is not at the top of your list. It should not be at the top of your list. What should be at the top of your list is creating a workplace that's fun to be at, that's effective, and that allows people to work their faces off. And when you are doing just-in-time production on your content creation,
it's going to suck.
It's going to suck. Yeah. You've got to have this bank. You've got to create in bulk and make it fun. This is fun. This is fun, being able to sit with you and do this. December, for example, I don't know when this is coming out, but our December at Creators Group is going to be 80 to 90% focused on our own sprint. And our goal is to create enough content to release about 3 to 5 pieces a day across every single platform every day for the first quarter.
And there's platforms that'll help you automate that. They're everywhere. 100%. There's a bunch of them. I'm not even going to mention them because they're not hard to find.
Yeah. So,
and you can also, I mean, anything, like if you're publishing on YouTube, like you can schedule that out.
Yeah.
You can schedule this out.
And like
our podcasts are scheduled out. I mean, they're scheduled out all the way through next week.
And that's the point.
But we also don't go too far with it, because sometimes there's things that are time sensitive. Like, for example, Quentin Lucas, who's now the mayor. Congratulations, Quentin, the mayor of Kansas City. he came in to record and the election was in a few days. So we had to push everything back to do that, which meant we had to re-edit thumbnails and some different stuff. So, you know, you can find a healthy balance
with
that.
Yes. And that's one of the points of creating a lot of content for the future is that it gives you the freedom to be able to do things like that. Like it gives you your team the freedom to even have more creative adventures because they already know that the baseline content's coming out and you know that as well. But my main point with just telling people what our plan for December was, is because people bond, teams bond over hard shared experiences. And so from a leadership perspective, when you're able to take your whole team or a section of your team through a sprint like that, it feels awesome at the end of it. You're actually going to have better leaders, better producers. You're going to have fun. Your team's going to be more cohesive. And by the way, you just created thousands of pieces of content that allows you to breathe for the next 3 months.
You can create, you know, one of the things too with creating in volume and using your business to do it is, I mean, you can kind of crowdsource your own content. You know, we went and, you know, so we have some of these sweet and greet events that we do around town and different stuff. And, you know, we encourage people to send pictures back and, you know, to tag us in their social media and like, you know, just that different stuff. And, you know, just even your own employees, like take pictures, like people want to see it. They want you to keep it real. And some, you know, you might be shocked at what other people will find interesting. You know,
true.
Like, and that's one of the things I'll tell you something. We haven't started doing this. We have. We published a video on our YouTube channel the other day, and it was me talking about the things that our clients are finding success at Full Scale. I find that to be relevant. It's like 3 minutes long, you know, and it was just like, hey, this is what people are doing. Cause as an entrepreneur, a startup founder, anybody like, well, if you're, hopefully you're listening to this podcast because you are looking for gems from the people that come in, or maybe even from us, who knows? We know a couple of things.
And one of the
last
things,
you,
no, we meaning we,
there's a mouse in your pocket.
Is that what I said?
Maybe.
I
don't know.
No, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where like when you start creating your own content and you talk through things and you write things down and you think about what you're saying, your overall message will just get better.
Yeah.
You get clarity through writing and through making videos and things like that. And that alone might be enough reason to go sit in front of the camera, face the awkwardness and release it.
Yeah.
You know, might as well.
You know what? I was going to kind of round this out, but I think that this conversation deserves to talk about the awkward feeling. Cause I've always had a level of confidence. Like I'm not nervous in front of a microphone or a camera. I've been on live television. I've done a whole lot of different stuff. I can speak to large groups with little preparation and feel comfortable and stuff like that. And then my wife is literally terrified of public speaking. And I think a lot of people don't create content because they're worried. They're nervous or they're scared or they don't think, well, you know, but there's, do you have any tips on overcoming some of that? Like, I think just doing it, repetition is like, and that's what I was hearing while you were saying that. I was like, in that same, you know, you remove that awkward feeling by doing it. That's why Toastmasters and some of these different things exist. Like, and once again, if you're just recording the content, if you're not truly live, this isn't live. This isn't stream. This isn't on whatever AM or FM radio. And if this is a total abysmal failure, the world heard it. Like we could theoretically, I have the option to not publish this podcast. Now I will, but at the same time, like that alone should remove your, in my opinion, remove your fear. Remove that awkward feeling. You can always delete it. Am I right?
You're right. Yeah. So let's say that you are doing something like Matt's doing here, which is getting in front of the camera, getting behind the mic, and you are the one talking about this stuff as an owner of your company. The first thing is be generous. You know, one of the fun things that happens when a camera goes on is that person who's really cool in real life now becomes a version of themselves in front of the camera. And you don't have to do that. You can stay yourself. So the three easiest tips outside of being generous.
Was that like when I wore jeans and gold shoes to a luncheon with the governor of Kansas yesterday?
That is you.
I know people, it is me.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, is that what you're wearing? I was like, yeah, this is how I dress. This 100%. Is me. Like, if you want to get to know me, like, this is me. I would actually be turning myself into a different character. I don't even know if I have a suit that's clean. Right. You know, it's just not me. I was the only person there in jeans and gold shoes.
Rocket, you're memorable.
But people remember me for that. And yeah. It's not at this point, there was some intention behind that. But, you know, like you said, like be you, because I'm comfortable. I would have been uncomfortable wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would have felt weird. Exactly. Like it's just,
It's not you. So
they were lucky I wore pants and not shorts. Or just pants in general.
For the listeners, we are sitting down and his legs are under a table and I do not know if he's wearing pants.
I'm wearing pants.
Thank you. But no, the three best tips for this, especially if you're doing video and you are the face of your marketing for a little bit. One is make sure that you're with somebody who is forcing you to do it. Like if you're really going to be awkward and self-conscious about it, just find an accountability partner. And that could be your videographer. It can be your director of marketing. It can be your EA. It can be whatever. But just make sure that that somebody is going to hold you to it. The second thing is find your style. Mm-hmm. So there are some people who are way better in a Q&A format than they are in a let's talk straight to the camera format. Some people like scripts a lot more. Some people like to be in group discussions. So find your style. Just because you see somebody else online replicating it, or like, you know, like everybody uses Gary V as kind of like the base level for this.
Gary curses more than I do, which is a lot. Yeah. But that's him. That's him. He'd probably have a hard time not doing it.
Yeah.
Like me.
He found his style. Yeah. But you can find so many other styles out there. So
you don't have to play. You don't have to please everyone, and you're not going to.
That's
right. It's impossible.
That's right. And then the third tip after those two is, if you are very, very self-conscious about the results of the videos, have somebody else look at the results of the videos for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to read the comments. You don't have to see how many likes it got. You don't have to take that hit to your ego. Go ahead and just produce it and let somebody else manage it very analytically. Those are the three best tips if you're feeling like a little awkward to do it.
There's one, I think, really simple one. I just laugh. Find a way to laugh. Get someone to tell you a joke. Watch something funny. Because honestly, like with video, it's like, well, first off, if you're hitting record shortly after like laughing and smiling, you have that kind of amiable energy and, you know, and also just – you will disarm yourself. You will disarm your insecurity, your lack of self-confidence. And like, that's why if you see me before I'm talking to a group or something, I'm probably joking with someone. My wife, who, like I said, doesn't like public speaking. Well, okay. She came to me. I was talking in front of a couple hundred of Kansas City's top business people. That's okay. That should make me more nervous than 2,000 strangers. Right. Because your peers are tough. Like you, that's where you really don't want to fail. It's when they're strangers, it's a lot easier. But she was like, are you preparing anything? I was like, no. She's like, not at all. She's like, have you thought about what you wanted to say? I'm like, I thought about that four words. That's how I do it. I call it my set list. I have four things, like four words. I won't ever read a script. I think if you try to memorize what you're going to say or speak, then you're in a risky position, because if you lose track at any point, you mentally have to go back and find your place. And that's when you see people freeze. The people that freeze are invariably, they're memorizing it. Now that said, sometimes that's the only way that people are actually going to do it. But it's really easy to like, you could fit four words on a post-it note, you know, and it might be like, introduction, could be business offering, you know, just a couple words, and you can look down at that if you need to, or think about it in your head, and it helps guide you. And we did that before we recorded today's podcast. I've got a few notes. I talked to Jay for like 5 minutes, and we just have a couple bullet points. Like they are what makes a decent video, how to create volume, you know, like, and even asking things like creatorsgroup.com, at creatorsgrp, at Instagram and Facebook. And that's like the entirety of my notes. I mean, I also wrote psychology down, literally psychology. Like we didn't talk about like Maslow's hierarchy of needs and different stuff like that. But well, anyway, if you get a chance, go to creatorsgroup.com, go to at creatorsgroup on the gram, on the Facebook. You can also check out Full Scale at fullscale.io, at Startup Hustle Podcast. You know where to find us. See you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.